Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Alrighty, good afternoon and good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Super Dave Show. Wow, what a day. Excuse me. And then I start getting a cough. That's how it usually is. You start the show and the cough starts. Wow, what a day. Not only talking about the news, but the news that we have. The first thing I got to tell everybody is the Ron Paul campaign is not over. I've been in a conference with some of the people involved with the campaign, and it looks to me like there's a long ways to go. What it is, it's more about putting the efforts where it really needs to be right now, and the idea that the campaigning part, it really gets expensive. Tomorrow is a money bomb that I'm actually going to be hosting with another host named T-Mott. Some of you people out there may be familiar with T-Mott. T-Mott is he's a black guy. He's a conservative, and he calls himself T-Mott, the Minister of Truth. I kind of like that. I think it's pretty cool, the Minister of Truth. And he's going to be hosting. We're both going to be hosting the show. It's going to be on more of a national basis. Where our guess is probably about 100,000 people going to be involved in it. So it's going to be quite the deal, much bigger than what radio is in here in Springfield, that's for sure. Pardon me for the clearing of the throat here. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow, evening tomorrow, and the time of this the show is going to change. By the way, let me give you the phone numbers to call in case you'd like to be a part of the show tonight. 323-784-9620. That's 323-784-9620. If you have any questions about the Ron Paul campaign or the campaign in general, it seems as though the Republican Party has their wish. They have their liberal candidate. And worse than that, it looks like the electorate has fallen for whatever, CNN, and I call Fox News the news CNN. Frankly, that's what it's become. It's become a CNN because they don't, it used to be fair and balanced. I don't think so. It's not so fair and balanced anymore. Anyway, it's pretty sad, but all the media outlets are talking about the fact that Ron Paul is done. Well, he's not done. If you would pay attention to what's going on here, and I had to discuss this with a friend of mine, and he's all giddy now. Ron Paul's not the guy, and I'm just nuts and all that stuff. But I sent him I sent him a website, and it's the Real Delegate Count. And I'm trying to remember, Real Delegate Count 2012, I guess it is. And guess what? It is an actual site that shows you what is really going on. If you go to the Wall Street Journal site, what you'll see there is you'll see nothing but a bunch of crap. I mean, it's crap. That's what it is. And what sucks about it, I mean, it just sucks, is that it shows Missouri and all the delegates go to Santorum. Now, anybody that is from Missouri knows, well, I shouldn't see anybody. Never mind. That's wrong. There's too many idiots here in Missouri and every other state that listens to the media, and they go, yep, that's what Fox News said. That's what Wall Street Journal said. That's what CNN says. And they're wrong. They are absolutely wrong. But what do you do with it? You know, people believe the media. Remember, people, the last election, they gave us John McCain. Wasn't that just wonderful? I remember going to vote. And the only good thing about the last campaign in my book, and it wasn't John McCain, was Sarah Palin. At least it was a breath of fresh air. She did have a history of working on the corruption in the Republican Party in Alaska. So it was something, but it was John McCain. Now we get Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, to me, is the black Obama. That's exactly what he is, the black Obama. Oh, I'm sorry. He's got an R next to his name. My God, he's a Republican. That's right. Well, guess who else is a Republican? And they're ignoring him. That's Ron Paul. Yeah, he's a Republican too, but he's not the chosen Republican. Isn't that just wonderful? The chosen Republican and the Republican electorate falls for it. Hook, line, and sinker. Amazing. What do you do? There's nothing you can do. Yeah, there is. Pay attention to the Ron Paul money bomb. If you go to my website, I'll have all the information on later. I've been on the phone for the last few hours just trying to get all this stuff together. But it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some great interviews. And I have a favor to ask of my friends out there. It was brought up to me, a gentleman from Missouri, and I didn't get to see the video, and I wish I had, but I'm going to after the show's over. Christopher Miller from District 3, and he's a Marine, and he got up. He's also a delegate. He's not a Marine, active Marine right now, by the way. They're always Marines, but he's not an active Marine. But he's a delegate, and he got up and said, hey, we're tired. We don't need to do this anymore. Ron Paul is right. We don't need to keep going to war after war after war, because that's exactly what we're doing. And let me tell you, Romney is in bed with it all the way. By the way, why are we doing a money bomb tomorrow? Why is Ron Paul changing his strategy right now? The strategy, basic strategy, is the same right now, by the way. It's about delegates. Remember, in the general election, it's not about the voters. It's about the Electoral College. It's no different. It's the same thing here. And so far, you got to give Dr. Paul a lot of credit. His strategy has worked wonderful. But, you know, there's one place that Dr. Paul fails, and I got to apologize for it. He fails, but it depends who's looking at it. Let me see, where does he fail? He fails by the fact he doesn't go to Wall Street. He doesn't go to the fat cats. He goes to the grassroots. Now, can you imagine this? I'm trying to figure this out. What is wrong with the electorate to get upset by a candidate who goes strictly by the Constitution, who doesn't want all our men and women to die over wars that we shouldn't be in, and he doesn't associate himself with all the fat cats on Wall Street and the rest of them who buy their camp, their presidents is what it amounts to. That's what they do. They buy the presidents. Unbelievable. But what are we doing now? We're looking at Romney. Press has picked Romney. Republican Party's picked Romney. That's who they wanted all to begin with. They were a little nervous at first. They should still be nervous. And don't ever think they're still not nervous. But back to Ron Paul again. Why does he need the money? He needs the money because it's people like you and I that donate to his campaign. He does get money from the big corporations. Remember, the big corporations are buying your candidates. I brought this up to you yesterday. I want to bring it up to you today. The people that are in office, most of them are bought and paid for. And it's our fault. It's our fault. And the reason it's our fault, ladies and gentlemen, is because of the fact that we don't donate to campaigns. Most people do not donate to campaigns. And when you don't donate to campaigns, somebody will. General Electric, Halliburton, all that stuff. You know, I remember being a dummy neocon before, where I just kind of went ahead and went with the flow, and I said, guess what? Somebody asking me a question here. Hold on 1 second here. I'm doing a show. Sorry about that. See, that's the problem when you do a show by yourself here. Anyway, let me give you the numbers in case you want to chime in here. 323-784-9620. Don't be shy. I think it's really important that you give us your attitude. Tell me someone that maybe you think is special. By the way, we are going to have somebody call in later, I hope. I think it's going to work out really well. I call him Thomas Jefferson reincarnated. And for those of you that know me, you know who I'm talking about. You know exactly who I'm talking about. But I'm not going to say. So, sorry, Carrie. Love to talk to you. You know, don't people know we're doing a show right now? Okay. Anyway, back to Ron Paul. The reason he doesn't have the same money is because he's not bought off. Now, isn't that wonderful? But the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, we have to do the buying. We're the ones that have to buck up. A lot of people have given to Ron Paul, a lot of grassroots people. But there are millions of people who haven't. Let's not kid anybody. I want to spank each and every one of you who don't do that. And it's time we do that. Tomorrow, we're going to have a donate button on a website that we're going to be streaming from. You'll get to see my pretty face, by the way. Yeah, my pretty face. And we'll do the live stream, actually, and I'll come up with the website in a second here. It'll be on my let me find it real quick for you, and then that way you don't have to look for it later. I'll put it in the chat room for now. Let me see. Phone calls coming in. Everything's working on. Let me see here. Do. This is really a cool thing that they're doing, though. RiseForLiberty.com. I'll put it in the chat room real quick. And tomorrow, make sure you come on. We're actually going to have quite a selection of people that's on there. Ben Swan is going to be involved. Ben Swan is the one that does Reality Check. One of the very damn few people out there that's doing the right thing. You know, it's really frustrating for me when I watch TV and I see who I thought were good people, and they're giving all of this false information about Dr. Paul. How ridiculous. You know, it's really sad. You know, one of my friends just got on here. He probably didn't know I was doing a show again, Ronnie White. This is a one-man show in Ozark, Missouri, trying to fight world government in the way of international baccalaureate program. And you know, Ronnie, if I get a chance tomorrow, I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up on the NASA show we'll be doing. In case you're not familiar, you've been out for a while. I'm hosting with another gentleman. We're hosting a show of the Ron Paul Money Bomb. And the Ron Paul Money Bomb is going to be pretty cool show. And it's going to be from 8 to 10, not 7 to 9, just so you know. So listen for that show. And we're going to have a lot of guests on there, too, by the way. I'm trying to get my other friend on there. And not only that, but if anyone has connections with Major, and I brought this up a minute ago, with Major Christopher Miller, tell him to get in contact with me, because I'd like to have him on this show, but also like to have him on tomorrow's show. This is a guy who's in the Marines and just said, I don't mean to repeat myself, but it's really important here. He's in the Marines, and he said, we've had enough. It's time we stop playing these stupid games that the media thinks that we need to, well, the Republican Party, who's being bought off by the ridiculous military-industrial complex. I mean, that's what it amounts to. And you know what? It really breaks my heart every time I see the soldiers coming back. I saw one yesterday, both legs and one arm gone. What's he fighting for? Let me see. If he's in Iraq and he's fighting because as much as I didn't want to admit it, we relied on faulty intelligence and we invaded. You know, listen, I mean, when I look back at that now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm ashamed. I'm one of those people that said, well, you know, that's the way it goes. Well, we invaded a country. We actually killed tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of innocent people. You know, we what do? We go in there and we make fun of Saddam Hussein, who did his share, as far as we know. And then we go and do the same thing, but we wore white hats when we went in there. So I guess it was okay to kill all those people because we wore white hats. Awesome. But as they said at the last caucus, some of the neocons got up and went to the podium. There, we were trying to put something in the platform that said that that intervention wasn't the way to go. Well, that's not exactly what it was, but it was pretty close to that. And some of the former military who got up there and mentioned the fact that the problem was that we need to fight these wars somewhere else. We don't need to fight them here. You know, and that really sounds good. I think that's awesome. It sounds great. How would you feel, and I thought about this later, how would you feel if you're in Iran and all this stuff is going on, and your guys say, we need to fight those wars in the United States? I don't think you're going to be too happy. I don't think you're going to be happy at all. And why don't they? You know, as I told people before, you know, we have bases all around Iran. I mean, Iran couldn't do anything now if they wanted to. They just couldn't. Of course, according to what the candidates were saying, these candidates, let me see, Iran must have super bombs. That's what it is. They got super bombs. And if they get one nuclear weapon, it must be the nuclear weapon to end all weapons, because we have thousands. And if they get one, you would think that the United States is going to be destroyed. What I brought up to some of my friends is, how would you feel, since we have all these bases around Iran, how would you feel if Canada said, you know something, Iran wants to put some bases up here, and we're going to allow that. We're going to let them put them at the border. We're going to go to a war with Canada? Or let's go to Mexico. We'll do it down in Mexico. We'll give Mexico a lot of money, and we'll do that. That'd be kind of tough, because the cartels are down there because of our ridiculous drug war. Gee whiz, isn't this... This is the brilliance of the people that we've elected. You know, no offense to the young man I spoke to yesterday that I interviewed who's running for state rep. I'm not going to embarrass him by saying his name, but those of you that listened to the show yesterday know what I'm talking about. This is someone who means well and can't wait to get up there and pass legislation for global warming. And pass legislation that's going to help all of us. And doesn't even have the sense to know it's going to affect our economy. Can you imagine that? Didn't even think about that. But he wants to go to Jeff City. I asked him the question. I said, by the way, have you ever been there before? He goes, I've been there once when I filed. OJT, on-the-job training. And like I said, he was a nice young man. He really was. I think he was 33. But frankly, he was a lost soul. Now, I know other people. I got a friend, Paul Kirtman. He's 31. He's a state rep. He's the absolute opposite. Thomas Jefferson reincarnated. That's who it is, Paul Kirtman. If we can clone people, I'm for cloning, because if we can clone Paul Kirtman, And Ronnie White, by the way. If we can clone these people, it'd be a better world. That's for sure. That's where we are today, folks. Anyway, I need to take a break here. I really hope that people do come by tomorrow and see what's going on. I think it's going to be a fabulous show. But anyway, let me give you the phone numbers you'd like to join in. 323-784-9620. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. I'll get it out here yet. It's been a long day, folks. I've been on the phone for the last 2.5 hours preparing this show for tomorrow. So if I'm a little sluggish tonight, what else is new? All righty, I'll be right back.
All righty, I want to take a couple minutes here to explain to you what I've been doing for the past year. And yes, this is a commercial break, and this means that you really need to pay attention, because if I'm saying it, it must be right. How about that? Okay, I've been involved with H&H Industries, which is a lighting company. Now, I basically do industrial-type lighting, but we do some residential, too. We have those types of twisty-type things, and a lot of people have fluorescence in their home. But what the one thing I want to tell you more than anything that I learned in this business was that we have, most of us have zero idea about lighting. You just buy lights and you think, hey, it's that bright and that's it. Wrong. You can put the brightest light up there you want, but the problem is it giving your eyes what it needs to see well? And the answer in 99% of the cases is absolutely not. So what we do is we go into businesses, like I said, some residential, and we redo their lighting. Now, in businesses, we go in there and we'll go do an audit, and we'll see what you're currently using. Then we'll come in later with a proposal, and we'll explain to you what kind of lighting is best for what you have, the least amount of lights with the most output. Now, when I say output, what is best for your eyes, and what's going to cost you the least amount in the future? And, you know, let's not kid anybody. At Lowe's and Home Depot and these places, their business is to sell you as many lights as possible. That's their business. I mean, when you walk in there, don't think you're going in there and you got someone that says, we want you to buy the least we can. They don't. We do. But the reason we do is, of course, our lighting is more expensive. However, it is much, much better than anything you buy at those other places. So give me a call off the air. My number is 417-770-6301, and we can discuss the kinds of things we can do. And, you just don't know what you're missing until you get some good light in your house. That's all we have in our house anymore. We've got the H&H lights, and I can't even think about putting any other kind of lights in my house, because when I walk around now, as I'm getting a little older, I can actually see better, much, much better. So let me give you that number again one more time. That's 417-770-6301. Give me a call and let's see what we can get worked out. I really think you'll be happy with it.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible, because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
All righty, we're back here at Super Dave Show. Phone number to call in, 323-784-9620. And Army Times, what is my friend Ronnie White up to here lately? Hey, Ronnie, can we clone you, by the way? Ronnie White, by the way, teaches ROTC. Is that okay to say, by the way? Can I say you teach at ROTC at Ozark High School? I just did. Anyway, Ronnie White is a hero. He's trying his best to stop the International Baccalaureate program in the Ozark area. Ronnie, I am going to do what I can to mention that tomorrow on the show that I'm doing. And just to remind everybody, it'd be 8 to 10 o'clock instead of 7 to 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. And I'm actually looking forward to, any of you guys ever heard of the TMOT, the Minister of Truth out there? I'm trying to remember. I think I saw him, and this is all kind of new to me here, but I think I've seen him before on a YouTube video, which I'm probably going to start doing myself here pretty soon. But he's a pretty bright guy. He's a black conservative, so he's obviously unusual, isn't he? My God, it's amazing to me, and I don't mean any offense to the black population, how Obama and the Democrats have the black population. They basically own them. And, you know, in my 50-plus years, I haven't seen much difference. Actually, I've seen the neighborhoods that were really bad get a whole lot worse. I see a whole lot more black people in prison. You know, I don't understand why they continue doing it. But, you know, I guess when you got Alan, Jesse, what's going to happen when they kick off? Who's going to take over, the Black Panthers? The guards at the polls. If you're not familiar, I think it wasn't in Pennsylvania where the black Panthers were there with their billy clubs, expressing their interest in making sure that people voted correctly, and if they didn't vote correctly, they probably didn't want to walk in there. And of course, the Obama administration, what'd they do? They said, "Oh, that doesn't mean anything." That doesn't mean a thing because they're black guys and they're the Black Panthers. And that's pretty much what happens. I just, you know, and I'm going to tell you, when I made a speech a couple weeks ago at the Tea Party, all I saw were, you know, it was a Tea Party Express, and yes, they were, they were giving Sarah Steelman an endorsement is what they were doing. And sure enough, you know, Sarah Steelman got up there and said what people wanted to hear. And Sarah Steelman, like I said before, she's a nice lady. I'm going to have her on this show. She said she really liked Ron Paul. You know, what's she going to say? You know, and that's the problem with most politicians. You know, and it'd be kind of fun to do is go somewhere and have a totally different outlook on things and then walk up to the same politician and ask them a totally different question and see what they say to them. Get them to the side and see what they say to each one. And if they don't match, that's probably not who you want to vote for. How's that? And I'm not saying Sarah Steelman would do that, but that would be a great way of doing it, wouldn't it? Now, see, when they tell the media, it's a different story because the media, they have that down. You know, a good politician has a media person there, by the way. And they have to, because I'll tell you what, I tell any candidate that if you're going to run for office and you don't have a media person there, somebody that understands the media, you're going to get your butt kicked. They are going to clean your clock, and that's it. Look what they're doing, and this isn't Ron Paul's fault, because they don't want Ron Paul to be in it, but look what they're doing to Ron Paul right now. Looking for some headlines here. CNN hits 15-year low. I'd like to know if Fox News is going down myself. I used to be a Fox News fan, but frankly, I'm not a fan anymore. In fact, the only time I watch Fox News is when I'm watching John Stossel. I stopped watching when they decided to take the judge off. And I'll bet you 10-1, most of you people out there did the same thing. I'll bet you did. All right, we have a caller on here. Let's see who we got here. All righty, you listen to the Super Dave Show. Who do we have on the line here?
Hi, my name is Kerry Knoll.
Oh, how you doing, Kerry? What's
good
on your
thing.
Mind,
how
Kerry?
How are you?
I'm doing just great, buddy.
Well, I was calling to discuss the money bomb tomorrow. I don't know how everyone else feels about it, but I think that the news with Ron Paul is that he's more focused now, and now is the time. Now's the time to step up.
Right. Right. You know, I had this discussion with some people in the Ron Paul campaign today, and they were saying that there is a bunch of people out there that have given a lot. But I can tell you from my own experience, Gary, there's a lot of people out there who haven't. And let's play numbers games. Are you good at math?
A little bit.
How many Ron Paul people would you say are out there? How many Ron Paul supporters? Think it's over a million?
Yes. Definitely.
I think it's probably in the millions. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely. Yep, in the millions.
if 10, you know, let's just use 1 million people, all right? 1 million people. If 1 million of the Ron Paul supporters were to give a stinky $10, which is nothing, that's $10 million. Right. I think it could be done. I really do. I think if the American people are really upset with what's going on, they could do it. I mean, does that sound out of line?
It sounds right to me.
Is $10 a lot of money?
No, $10 isn't much at all.
So, you know, why can't people do something like that? That's what I want to know. Why can't people come up with it? I want somebody else to tell me, why can't you come up with $10? A million people, $10, that would pretty much do it. By the way, one of the reasons I think he's more focused on it, but I think, you know, it's not that his money's drying up or anything. It's just that, you know, you've got to continue. And when you're not getting money from your fat cat friends, you know, as Obama and Romney and a lot of the other ones were, you're not going to be in the campaign.
Right.
So, you know, that's the whole purpose of the money bomb. But what I would suggest to everybody is try to notify all your friends about the show and get on there. And let's just royally, I'm going to say it out on here, we royally kick ass. Just get out there and just show them that we mean business. My freedom means more than $10, that's for sure.
I like it. I'm actually a graphic designer, and I make some images that I post on Facebook. So you just gave me a great idea to make an image to try to encourage everyone to give $10 or $20. But, for example, if everyone gives $10 and there are a million Ron Paul supporters, then that's $10 million.
Hey, you're right. Do one other thing, though. Put at least a minimum of $10. Because for some reason, the American people are kind of silly and they go, well, it's only $10. And that's fine if that's all you have. But if your freedom, what is your freedom worth, honestly? You know, the problem we have here is we have a very dependent society. And we're expecting someone else to buck up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got a note here. Many believe Monday's Ron Paul letter was well orchestrated to put Paul back into the spotlight, and that's worked. No doubt he's getting news. The problem for Paul is his followers are not about to give up. You are so right. You are so right. That's Ronnie White, my friend Ronnie White from St. Louis. Hey, he's from your area, buddy. No, Ronnie White's from here. I'm sorry. Don't mind me. You're from St. Louis. I'm sorry. By the way, what area you live in St. Louis, by the way?
I'm actually in St. Charles County, home of the hijacked caucus.
Are you a delegate?
Yes, I'm a delegate. I was there.
Oh, okay. So you're coming to Springfield in a couple weeks, aren't you?
I sure am.
All right. You know, I'm in Springfield. I guess you know that. I think, what would you feel about us having some big party on Saturday evening or something like that? What would you think?
Yeah, that would be great. As a matter of fact, I think there's at least one party already scheduled. We found someone who has some farmland out there, and there's going to be a big camp out and bonfire.
You know, that's funny. I came from St. Louis and farmland you have to drive a long ways to get to. Not in Springfield, trust me. You could be downtown and
so
drive 5 minutes away, you know.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to meeting you in person, and you're invited to the bonfire.
Oh, well, yeah, you have to let me know when it is, and let me know. We'll put it up on the website. Hey, do me a favor. If you know anybody that is really good at websites and has a giving heart, have them send them my way, will you? Because as everybody knows, I may be good at some things. Websites are not my thing. I mean, I don't know if you do websites or not, but people that do websites half are weird or something like that, because I don't know what they do, but they do it right, and I look at it, and I just can't do it. There's something wrong with me when it comes to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a whole different thing from graphic design. I do graphic design, but I have not gotten into websites yet. But I know a few people who do, so I'll pass them your way.
I appreciate that. I really do. Were you upset? By the way, you're familiar with the delegate count, right?
I think so, yeah. I try to stay up with it, but, you know, who really knows? I don't know.
There is a website, and I'm going to find to let everybody know what it is. It is, I'll find it here. It's the Real Del. Oh, wait a minute. This is my email here. I sent it to a friend of mine who I've mentioned on the show a few times, who can't wait to tell me all the time Ron Paul's out. You know, it's just amazing. The website, it's just for everybody wants to know it. It's the real2012delegatecount.com.
Right. I first saw that on one of Ben Swan's broadcasts.
I think it's important everybody looks at that. I think that's right, the real2012delegatecount.com. Yeah, I think everybody needs to look at that because, yeah, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised because there's a whole lot more. You know, because I was telling people, if you look at the Wall Street Journal one, it's a joke. It's like the Republican Party did it. It's over, that's it. Did you know the same
Senator
won Missouri, according to the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, that's okay. Let them think that.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's talk to you for a minute. All right. You were at the St. Charles caucus, right?
Right.
Okay. Give everybody an idea kind of how it started out. I mean, was everybody like, okay, this is going to be cool. You know, let's go ahead and get the temporary chair out of there, and we'll go ahead and elect Matt, right? Isn't that how it was, kind of?
Yeah, that's what we were thinking. But the temporary chair had no intentions of seeing anyone get appointed chair except his own personal pick.
What I want to know is if what were you supposed to do when all this happened, when he was kind of, you know, ramrodding who he wanted in there and not even accounting for anything else? Were you guys just supposed to sit back and say, oh, shucks, that's not fair? Is that what you were supposed to do?
I guess they, you know, I don't know if they thought we would do that or if they had planned to shut down. They took a straw poll at the door when we came in and registered, which they're not supposed to do. But the Central Committee, who was hosting the caucus, held a straw poll at the door. So you had to tell them who you were there to support.
What?
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the first thing that happened. You went in to register, and you filled out a sheet of paper, and you had to write on there who you were supporting, and they gave you a wristband, and they wrote the name of your candidate on it.
They did not do that at our caucus.
Yeah, well, they weren't supposed to do it here either. I'm pretty sure that's against the Missouri GOP rules. But so they took a straw poll, and they found out, they discovered through their straw poll that the Central Committee's man, who they wanted to win the delegates at the caucus, didn't have enough support to win. And the Romney camp had sided with the Paul camp. We had decided to split our slate, and they knew they couldn't win, and so they railroaded the caucus, and I believe they had every intention of shutting down the caucus with no delegates to be awarded if their candidate was not going to win the delegates.
Right. By the way, is Kathy Conway one of your – is she your state rep?
Sorry to say that I have to plead ignorant on that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's all right, but I don't think people want you to know anyway. She is a state rep in that area, okay, whether it's your particular area, I'm not sure because there's a few up there. But I had some discussions with her because I was nailing the Central Committee for what they were doing, and she says, I was there. It basically lied to me and told me, via Facebook, that I was dead wrong, that you guys were unbearable. It wasn't the way it was portrayed. you know, by you guys, and the fact that it was the Paul supporters being out of line, and it's unfortunate you have to write that.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what happened when the caucus was called to order. The first thing they did is they read this list of House rules. Once they called the caucus to order, and they read this list of rules, and one of the like the third, fourth item on the list was no cameras or no recording devices. And that, of course, received an uproar from the crowd. And that's really where the trouble started.
Because they were going to try to railroad this, and they didn't want anybody to have video of it.
Right. And you know, I that's at least part of it. I think maybe they had more than one purpose there, if they were smart enough to figure out more than one purpose. But I think they knew that would draw an uproar from the crowd. And,
hey, hold on a second, Kerry. Hold on. I got to remind everybody who we're talking to here. It's a bad habit I've gotten in because I haven't been on the air for a while. We're talking to Kerry Noel. He was one of the – he is a delegate from St. Charles County, that famous county that the Central Committee from the Republican Party decided to try to railroad, and ended up arresting Matt Ellen for trying to legitimately hold the caucus outside. So Kerry here is one of the delegates who will be in Springfield in a couple weeks. So we're just talking about that. So I want to go back because people were asking, and I forgot to mention. Anyway, go ahead. We're back to your story.
Actually, that was Brent Stafford who was arrested. Matt Ellen was one.
Brent Stafford. You're right. I'm sorry. Matt Ellen was the bad guy.
Yeah, Matt Ellen, Brian Spencer, and Eugene Dokes were the three people on the Central Committee who were running the caucus and railroaded the caucus.
You're right. I apologize. You're right. I got
That's
the
okay.
name mixed up there. By the way, Dokes
Just
used
to
be one of my Facebook
straight.
Friends.
We like to repeat those names so everyone knows who the bad guys are.
Yeah. Matt Ellen is a bad guy. Eugene Dokes, who, by the way, Jamie Allman interviewed on the morning show in St. Louis. And he acted like, oh, I didn't know anything. You know, and people let him go. By the way, he's running for office, too. Isn't he running for state rep? Or
yes,
did he change his mind?
He's still running.
Oh, he's still running. So all you people out there that are Ron Paul fans or whatever, I mean, or how about this? Not even Ron Paul fans. If you're looking for people who aren't going to lie to you, don't vote for Eugene Dokes. There. That's my endorsement for anybody but Dokes. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I want to say when they announced that we couldn't have recording devices and that drew an uproar, it wasn't just the Paul people. It was the Romney people, too. I mean, we had Romney guys who were as loud as we were in opposition to this rule. And we actually joined forces and, later on, that's down the road a bit. I can get to that, but stick with the order of things. So there was this uproar, and so Eugene Dokes asked the rented policemen who were there for security to arrest a guy who refused to put his camera away.
Yeah. Stop for 1 second, Kerry. I want everybody to think about this. Here you are, you're in the bleachers. I don't like the setup the way it was anyway. You're in the bleachers, and I saw the video, and they had these cops walking through the bleachers making people turn their cameras off. This is the transparent Republican Party. Okay, go ahead. I just want to make sure that people have this, and you got this, and all of a sudden you got a cop there with a gun that's going to arrest you for taking pictures. Go ahead.
Yep, that's right. And every time, you know, that Eugene Dokes repeated, you know, put the cameras away, there was more uproar. Finally, so they called for backup. And so we had what ended up being probably at least two dozen police cars outside, and cops coming in, one motorcycle cop with his helmet, billy clubs.
Helicopter.
These guys are, helicopter circling outside. We didn't know that yet, but because we weren't outside yet. But so we had these couple dozen police officers come in, and they're parading the floor. And we finally decided, okay, look, let's just calm down and let the caucus get started. And once we get a chair in position, then we can vote to change this rule so that we can allow recording devices.
Right.
And we got together with the Romney camp, and we decided we were going to do this. And so we settled down and let them get the caucus underway. And then that's when it was railroaded. It only lasted a couple of minutes, because Eugene Doakes appointed the chair, pretty much. I mean, he wouldn't hear any motions for anyone else.
Okay, well, let's go through this real quick, okay? All right, so they asked for nominations, and, of course, a Santorum person said Matt Ellen. That's who they wanted. And then then he basically immediately closed the nominations. Isn't that correct?
That's right, yes. And Brent Stafford was trying to nominate himself, and the police in the floor were blocking him from approaching anywhere near the podium to where he could be heard. The police were blocking him and keeping him restrained.
Wow. Just the thought of that. We're in America. You know, it just is amazing. Okay, so anyway, they closed the nominations pretty quickly, and then all of a sudden it was like, okay, he's the new chair, and then he sits down and takes over, and you knew where it was. You were in trouble then.
Right. They appointed the secretary, parliamentarian. They appointed all the positions without any votes. And then Matt Ellen closed the caucus within a minute. I mean, he got up and basically said that this meeting is adjourned, all in favor, and no one spoke. And then he said those opposed, and everyone yelled and screamed. And he said the ayes have it, hit the gavel. And then Brent Stafford tried to take over the microphone and reconvene the caucus because it had been improperly adjourned, and they pulled the microphone.
As the rules say, if they adjourn the meeting and it's not complete, you're allowed to go somewhere on the premises and restart the meeting. That's what the GOP rules. Like, they really cared what the rules were, but, you know, obviously this was a setup, and I think the setup was to make sure, like you said, they started out, they found out they didn't have enough people for the Santorum group to make it, so they went ahead They knew what was going to happen. So the police were there for a reason. We both know that. You know, how ridiculous. I mean, just, okay, so, all right, so that's over. You know, Brent gets arrested. By the way, do you know happened from that?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened from that?
It's still in the works. I've heard some from Brent about that, but I'm not certain where they are with it right now. He has an attorney, and from what I really can't say. What I do know, I think, is not supposed to be public yet. But so now that they had railroaded the caucus and shut it down, then they ordered everyone out of the building. They said, leave the building now or you'll be arrested. And then that's when we went outside, saw the helicopter circling, and then Brent tried to gather everyone. You know, we've been telling everyone, we all knew that we had the right to reconvene the caucus and call it back to order and hold the caucus as long as we were on the grounds where the call to convention had specified the location of the caucus.
Right.
So when Brent stood up and tried to gather everyone, That's when the cops came and arrested him and took him away. They didn't even tell him what they were charging him for. He asked, Brent asked, what are you charging me with? And they said, we'll tell you that. Yeah, we'll tell you that later. And then they charged him. They charged him with trespassing. Now
trespassing. Didn't they have about 1,000 other people they had to arrest for that too? Because there were other people there too. Why'd they pick him out? You know that's what's pathetic.
They picked him out, and then the guy who originally had the camera, the cops kept an eye on him and came outside and arrested him too.
Right.
So those are the two people who were arrested.
Right. Hey, can you hold on a second? I want to bring another caller in here. I want to see if he's got any questions to ask you about this, okay? All right.
Okay.
Hey, you're listening to Super Dave Show. Who's on the line here?
Hey, this is Greg.
Yeah, okay. Did you have any questions to ask Brent about the St. Charles deal?
Yeah, I was actually wondering if there are any circumstances surrounding the deal that you would not consider illegal.
That what now? I didn't understand your question. Make sure you speak loud.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm saying is that, I was listening to him talk about the Saint deal, but, I'm curious as to whether or not there may be some illegal circumstances surrounding the deal, because it seems like from the way he's talking that it's kind of hush-hush under the table, and I'm wondering if it's because they're dealing with some illegal element to this deal.
Are you talking about the caucus?
Yeah.
What? Okay, I'm trying to figure out what was illegal. They were that. You have to help me out. I'm kind of lost here.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, here's what I'm saying is that maybe there's some money going under the table here, and that maybe there's some money trading hands here that we're not able to hear about as normal civilians in the action away from the delegates. So I'm wondering if maybe he has any insider information regarding whether or not there's some illegal deals going on here.
Between
no,
who?
Yeah, I don't know of anything illegal. I mean, there's no evidence of anything illegal than...
They'd be smart enough not to have evidence of it. I'm just wondering if there's any hint or rumor or maybe eye wink that you can lead us to telling us if there's an illegal deal going on.
But who are you talking about the legal deal? In a central committee with the cops or what? I mean, I'm trying to figure out who you're talking about.
I'm not going to point the finger here, but I am pretty sure that there's maybe with a couple of the delegates there's some underhanded money swapping going on.
Which delegates?
What?
Which delegates representing who?
Representing the nation.
No, but I mean there's delegates. There's Ron Paul delegates, Romney, Gingrich, and Santorum. Which delegates?
Yes. Well, I personally believe that Santorum, before he suspended his campaign, had a good deal of money laundering going on between his several bank accounts.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Maybe you've heard about it. I haven't heard that at all. Have you heard anything about that, Corey?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard anything about that. I wouldn't want to accuse anyone of that without
right.
There's nothing to make me. That seems obvious about that anyway.
Can I make a comment, caller? I think the problem here was that you have a few people. This is what the Republican Party does. Democrat Party does the same thing, by the way. But the Republican Party has a problem because they have a few people who run the show, and they don't want anybody else involved. I mean, that's bottom line. We found that out at the caucus we were at, the regional caucus, and they kind of ramrodded some stuff there too.
And they're used to having it that way.
Right.
Let's be fair here.
Okay, let's be fair here. They've been doing this for a long time, and a lot of people are just now getting involved. They're just not getting involved. And, I'm not defending these guys because I think there's lots of issues here. But think about it. They've been doing this for a long time, and all of a sudden you got some people here who show up once or twice, and they want to take over. And, that's even if you're a Ron Paul person and you've got it, and all of a sudden that happens to you, you're going to get a little spooked too. That's why we got to play smart here. And actually what you guys did, Corey, was perfect because you tried to do it the right way, but you knew immediately you were getting screwed. I mean, and you had to stop the caucus or start it outside. I think it was a It was a black. It didn't look good for the Central Committee. They looked terrible after that.
Oh yeah, they looked really bad because the Missouri GOP, held the caucus redo, and they said that the Central Committee, St. Charles Central Committee, would not be in charge, but the Missouri GOP would be in charge instead. So that's a real black eye to the St. Charles Central Committee.
Yes, it is. Caller, I got a question. Where are you getting that information from about accounts with Santorum? I haven't heard anything like that, and I like to know where you're getting it because, if you're going to make accusations and they're good ones, we want to know about it, but if it's just something you're just thinking in the back room, it's a different story.
I heard from I was perusing several alternative news sites when I came up to a really interesting expose regarding Santorum's prior foreign bank account. But, of course, granted the source, I wasn't really too suspicious, I was very suspicious of it, and I didn't really tell if it was the truth or not. But doing my own little personal research, I found that there was some money missing from the caucuses on the money that they've been raising, going into the pockets of people that were within the campaign and within the president himself, which led many people to wonder if the sort of profiteering he was doing from the caucuses was not going directly into his pocket.
Well, if nothing else, we know the media is going to be on this one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, the media is on it today, isn't it? It's the same media, by the way, that's saying that Ron Paul's out. Yep, that's the media we get to depend on.
Yeah.
Isn't it nice to have the First Amendment? All right. I think I killed him.
Right. Well,
anyway.
I think we should also look at other elements of this too, because there's definitely some underhanded table making going on here.
Yeah, well, and that's probably, I mean, it's a possibility. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. And
right.
To be fair, there are actually a lot of Santorum people that aren't bad people. I mean, I'm not going to say there is, but just like a lot, there's a select few that are there for the power and control only. And, that's my biggest issue. And,
we've got to be fair here. Yeah, and for those Santorum people, now that you bring it up, if they're – Ron Paul is closer to their views than Mitt Romney is. And,
absolutely.
You know, we want the Santorum people to know that we welcome them to join our campaign.
Absolutely, I agree. You know, I'm trying to figure out why they would even, the Santorum people would even be thinking about going with Romney. And what really bothers me though is the head guy, Santorum. This is what makes me mad about Santorum is Ron Paul is a lot closer to his view according to what he says as opposed to Romney. But what does he do? He endorses Romney. I'm missing something there, guys. Are you? Am I wrong?
Well, you certainly have a point there.
I think who's missing something is Santorum, and I don't understand why he sold out to Romney so easily on that.
Unless he has a deal made, which is possible, but... Well, which is possible. I mean, deals happen in politics. You know, my friend who happens to think the caucuses are ridiculous and that we should just do popular vote, when I tried to discuss this with him, it's like, something? I'm sick to death of people who don't have a damn clue what the hell's going on, but they watch a commercial and they go, I really like that Mitt Romney guy. I like the way he parts his hair. Yep, that's the guy. And he really says some neat things. That's who is
like
voting for these people. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
And then you get some people, well, let me see. I like what Ron Paul said during one of the debates because, he's getting pretty old. And I'll never forget the debate when he says, I'll challenge any of you other guys to a bike ride. He's 76 years old. 76 isn't that old anymore, by the way.
I think he rides like 15 miles a day from what I heard.
Yeah, he does.
Wow. He's very fit.
Okay. Hey, I want to get back to Corey just for a few minutes because I want to find out what happened. And you can hang on, caller, if you want. But I, I just wanted to talk to Corey for a minute and find out what happened at the other caucus.
Right. I just want to have finished with one thing, though, real quick.
Sure.
It's a quote I read from Santorum a few weeks ago. I just happened to find it on my desktop. It said, it was really interesting because it was talking about something that I thought he had no interest in. It was something about, let's see. I'm always told that what I say is controversial. Why is it controversial? Because I speak from a tradition that has now fallen out of favor with the dominant media in this country. And so when I say things like marriage should be between one man and a woman, I'm called a bigot. When I say things like Asians have small penises, I'm called a bigot. When I take money from under the table, I'm called a bigot. Thought that was extremely bizarre.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and remember, Santorum did have one problem, especially with Dr. Paul, and that was he absolutely despises libertarians. Which when he said that, and I saw the video, I saw that, and I just said, this man, if he was the nominee, would absolutely guarantee Barack Obama a second term. And I don't know where you guys are, but I'm pretty sure you're in the same place I am. There is nobody out there that I think can do a better job of beating Barack Obama right now. Not even close, even Romney, because I know a lot of people are staying home. They do not want to vote for Mitt Romney. No interest whatsoever.
That's right.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go back to Corey for a little bit here. Like I said, Carl, you can hang around if you want, but I want to talk to Corey about this. All right, so Corey, we're going to go forward to the next caucus, all right? How was that conducted? Was it okay or what?
Oh, it was fantastic. The difference was night and day. Everything went smoothly.
Was the press
there? Were differences of opinion. What's that?
I want to remind everybody who we're talking to. We're talking to Corey Knoll. He's a delegate in St. Charles, dealt with that St. Charles disaster. And anyway, now we're in the process of finding out what happened at the new caucus, you know, the caucus of, what would you call that?
The redo.
Yeah, that's right, the redo. So you walk in there. Was media there, by the way?
Yes, I heard there were some media people there. I didn't really pay attention to them, but I heard there were maybe a half dozen or so media people there.
Okay. Did you have to walk in and tell them who you voted for? Who you were?
No.
Huh, interesting.
No.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, when you got in there, did they tell you no cameras allowed?
No. No, okay. In fact, they said that we were allowed to have recording devices.
So, you know, and so the crowd was wonderful then, weren't they?
Yes. Everyone was well-behaved.
And, of course, that was reported in the press, right, that the Ron Paul supporters were happy and everything was wonderful? I hope there's a sarcasm in that, you know, really.
There's definitely sarcasm.
Yeah. You know, and that's just it. You can always depend on the media to do a good job. All right, so you started, and the whole caucus was great. What, when you had any question, was there any problem with that? Well, no.
No, there was no problem.
Because you actually had a round. Brett actually did the meeting, didn't he?
Yes, Brent Stafford we elected the chair, and Brent Stafford was elected chair and ran the caucus, and he was perfectly fair. No one had any complaint at all, and there's no reason anyone could have complained. He gave everyone a fair chance to say what they wanted to say. He heard and let people argue some actually not I want to be politically correct, but they were some ridiculous motions that people were making, and he let them say their piece.
Which is what you should
everyone,
do, by the way.
Right. And you know, people had a problem with the rules a couple times, and so he stopped and explained the rules, and you know, maybe someone, at one point there was a discussion about maybe amending the rules, and there was a vote, and the rules were rules that had previously been decided were retained, but everyone had a fair shake, and everything went smoothly. And I can tell you this: after the caucus was over, and I approached the stage, and Brent Stafford stepped down, and I personally stood there and witnessed people from the Romney camps and from Santorum camps come up and thank Brent for running a fair caucus. And in particular, I remember one lady who came up and said, "You know, I had a really bad impression of the Ron Paul campaign from the last caucus, and now I know that my impression was wrong." She said, "You did such a good job, and I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate your being so fair."
And that was reported in the paper too, wasn't it? I remember that. yeah, okay. But that's my point. Those things aren't reported. But what's reported, what they want to report, and that's it. You know, folks, this is why you've got to listen to a lot of blog talk radio and that kind of stuff, because at least you're going to get the honest-to-God truth. Corey, you have nothing to gain by lying here, do you?
No. I'm just telling like it is. I mean, the fact is that the Ron Paul people who showed up at the caucus were more familiar with Robert's rules. Our campaign heads, our floor people, were more familiar with Robert's rules than the temporary chair running the caucus the first time around, the failed caucus.
Actually, it's amazing. I found it amazing that he was appointed to run it, and that when he was doing Jamie Allman's show, he said, "Well, I wasn't real familiar with Robert's Rules of Order." Well, why in the world are you running the meeting? Yeah, I thought it was anyway.
That's the thing.
Well, I thought it was a lie anyway, and I'll tell you why. Because if they knew up front what they were going to do. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They knew up front what they were going to do, and they did it.
Oh, well, yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw the video from the Pachyderm meeting where Brian Spencer got up, and at the Pachyderm meeting, he discussed it, and he said, "Guys, we need to stand up for Dobbs. He's taking the hits on this, and, you know, we need to stand up for him because I don't want to say exactly, you know, try to put words in his mouth, but the gist of it was that he said that, you know, we planned this and we didn't want one particular candidate to come in who only had like 10% of the popular vote to come in and take all the delegates from the caucus. And we wanted to put rules in place that would prevent that from happening so that things would be run fairly and that the votes would be distributed according to the popular vote that took place in the primary."
Yeah, the vote that didn't count. Which, by the way,
right,
a lot of people don't understand. In most states, that vote doesn't really count anyway. Because according to the RNC rules of today, it's going to change tomorrow. Anyway, according to the RNC rules, even though in some areas where they're supposed to vote for a candidate, you know, say, for instance, they have to vote, they really don't have to do that. There's no one that can force them. You know, say, for instance, Missouri sends a slate and there are 12 candidates there. You know, 12. I forgot how many delegates we get, but we get so many delegates. And according to what I understand, when they get there and they decide, "Hey, we don't have to do this," they can change their vote. They do not have to vote by what they were told they had to vote. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
That's according to a high-ranking RNC official. They do not have to do it. Now, think about this.
Now, are you talking about the state, or are you talking about national?
The national convention.
That's Rule 38.
Rule 38, right. Rule 38
says
they do not have to do vote for that assigned person.
Right.
And
right.
Actually, it makes sense in a way, and I'll tell you why. Let's say, for instance, you leave your state and you find out that that your candidate has a lover and is stealing money from the campaign to take care of her. That's actually happened, I understand. and you don't have to vote for him. Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, why couldn't you there? You say, oh, I'm stuck, I got to do this? I don't think so. So that Rule 38 makes good sense. And I actually think the brilliance of the Ron Paul campaign is by delegates. Because really and truly, just like the Electoral College, that's how this election is really decided. It's not by popular vote. You know, our country isn't decided like that. Ask Al Gore. You think Al Gore would have been worse than Obama?
Worse? I don't know.
That's pretty bad. I mean, Obama's been really bad. But I from the beginning, I've been telling people that the Republican Party has this mantra, Ron Paul can't win. And I think what they were also trying to say is a nutcase or something like that. They were trying to use that because some of my friends were saying that. Actually, I got defriended by a lot of people because of the fact that I was sticking up for Ron Paul, and they thought I was a bad guy too. Mature adults.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that for a second.
I'll tell you what. Hold on for a minute. I got to do something. I'm going to take a break. All right. I'll be back in a minute, okay. Everybody. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. We're talking to Kerry Knoll. He's out of St. Charles. We're talking about Ron Paul and the delegates and all that. So hold on for a couple minutes, okay, Kerry?
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Super Dave here. I'd like to speak to you quickly about the commercials you hear on this network. And the most important thing you have to understand is I do not put my name on commercials unless I have total confidence in these people. And you, as consumers, need to use the people that I recommend. The one thing for sure is not like your car is broken down. Where do I take it? Well, I don't put my name on something unless I have the highest regard for these people and confidence in them. So make sure you do use the people. Call them up. Ask them questions. And frankly, if you got a problem, come back and tell me because then they know I'm going to come by and see them. And they don't want that. Because as you guys know, I am honest and forward about everything. And I'm not going to hold back. I don't believe in covering up just because somebody happens to advertise on the show. If they're not good at what they do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you. By the way, if you have people out there who you think would be a good advertiser on the show, or yourself even, give me a call, 417-770-6301, or email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. It's really important that we take care of other freedom-loving Americans, and it's important that we keep shows like this on the air because where else are you going to hear it? We're going to have some exciting shows coming up, and it's really up to you to help this show make it. Let's be good Americans. Let's take care of each other. Alrighty, let me take a minute here to tell you about my friend Jerry of Jerry's Transmission here in Springfield, Missouri. All right, you know there's nothing worse than having your car break down, especially if you know it's transmission problems, because you pretty much can figure it's going to be a big bucks. But then who do you trust to take it to? Well, here in Springfield, I can highly recommend Jerry's Transmission. He's been doing it for God knows how long, 40, 50 years. The guy's old. And anyway, his son's doing it now, and they have a very experienced crew, bunch of good guys. I've met them, and just a great place to take your vehicle and feel like you can trust them. All right, they're 2035 West Kearney, and that's a few blocks west of Kansas Expressway. Please give them a call at 417-865-0668. And what you got to do is tell them Super Dave sent you, and then what they'll do is they'll charge double, and then I get half. No, I'm just joking here. Anyway, just give them a call. That's 865-0668, Jerry's Transmission.
Alrighty, we're back here at Super Dave Show. We're speaking to Kerry Knoll. He's from St. Charles. He's a delegate, and he's going to get in. We're getting into a little more of the Ron Paul stuff. I want to remind everybody, tomorrow our show is going to be from 8 to 10. And thanks, Kerry, for helping me set that up, by the way. I'm going to be hosting the show with T-Mott. And it's going to be 8 to 10 o'clock. I'm thinking what we had. I've been on the phone for 2 hours. Thanks a lot for that too, Carrie. just trying to get set up. But it's going to be a NASA show. It's a Ron Paul money bomb. And I am hoping each and every person here, as we've talked about, is very interested in sending $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, whatever you can. Let's make this delegate deal happen. It's not what the media is telling you. The delegate count is a lot closer than they're telling you. So just pay attention to that. So, all right, you're back on, Carrie.
Okay. I wanted to discuss something. Now, we've heard people say, you know, we in the Ron Paul camp say all the time that Ron Paul can beat Obama, but Romney can't beat Obama. And there's a point I'd like to make that I really haven't heard anyone else making.
Okay.
And that is that if you look at the polls, and, of course, polls change by the day, so, you know, I know polls are polls. But if you look at the polls, you're always seeing Romney versus Obama at somewhere around 46 to 46, or maybe it's 47 to 45. There's very few undecided votes when it's Romney versus Obama. Now, when you look at Ron Paul versus Obama, the polls show maybe a 43 to 43 or 43 to 42. The numbers are smaller and there are more undecided. And I believe that's because most people aren't like us and they don't inform themselves. So a lot of people don't know about Ron Paul, which is why there's a discrepancy. There are more undecided because they don't know Ron Paul. But I think once, you know, Ron Paul, it's we know he attracts more soft Democrats and more independent votes than Romney does.
Right.
So when you have a Ron Paul versus Obama at 43 to 43, I think there's a lot more room for Ron Paul to pick up and get over 51% to Obama's vote. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You know, one of my friends is on the board here, and I know he was a Santorum supporter. And I'd just be curious, he kind of let me know if he if he's all excited about Romney or if he's leaning towards Dr. Paul or what. I'm just really interested in. And has he been fooled, by the way, by what the media said? Because, honestly, I look at the strategy, the Paul campaign, and I think it's brilliant. I really do. I think it's brilliant.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, it just... whether you like him or not, it doesn't make a difference. In fact, one of the things I heard at the caucus was they gave the Ron Paul people a lot of credit because they knew the rules. Same thing with your caucus. They knew the rules, and they did it right. And they gave him a lot of credit for being smart. Wouldn't it be nice to have smart people running our government for once? We don't want that. We don't want smart people running our government. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? But anyway, if you... Johnny, you get a chance. Let me know on the board or something, you know, what you think of that. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. I think a lot of Santorum people are leaning, would vote for Ron Paul over Romney, and I think that has a lot to do with it, too. And how come, for those that aren't, how come it's like, let's say, for instance, Dr. Paul ends up being the nominee, which, you know, everybody's saying he's not going. Not everybody. A lot of people say he isn't going to. But why is it you're a good Republican if you vote for Romney, but you're not a good Republican if you vote for Dr. Paul? That's my question to each and every one of those people.
Good question.
Do you think I'm on a line there? I mean, what do you think? I mean, have you kind
of...
Well,
what do I think? Oh, my goodness. What do I think? Who's the conservative in the race?
Exactly.
Romney's not a conservative. Ron Paul has the most sound fiscal conservative policy. Romney just wants to cut increases in spending, whereas Ron Paul wants to actually cut spending.
Yeah,
$1 trillion the first year. Yeah.
Gee whiz. You know what? They can rent out those buildings they have in Washington, like Department of Commerce. The Department of Education, that's the one I want to see go quicker because, to me, I call it the Department of Indoctrination. It has zero to do with education. What a total waste of money. Total waste of money.
Yep.
You know, and that's – and has Romney said anything like that? No. You know, the people – and the people are continuing – to back someone who is a Democrat. The man is a Democrat. I don't care if he's got R next to his name. Hoo-ah, that's my buddy. But isn't he? He is a Democrat. Any other time, he'd be a Democrat, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
He makes John McCain look like a conservative. That's the whole point. Isn't it amazing? The man is way left, and because of the fact he ran a business, you know, they're running, I don't know if you've seen the commercial in Missouri here, but they're running a commercial here, how Bain Capital came in here, and this is a Democrat Party doing this, and destroyed 300 some odd lives by closing down a steel plant, you know.
Wow.
And you know, the Republican Party, and I kind of understand some of it because you can't run a business that's not making money. But at the same rate, you know, what do you do? I mean, where do these people go? And I think that's something a lot of people don't understand, too, is like, where do these people go when they lose their jobs? You know, when the politicians have put up so many regulations that it costs so much to begin with. Yeah, great thought, Brandon. How watered down can this party get right now? That is exactly right. It's exactly right. You know, we got to start thinking about other people here too, because when these politicians, as our gentleman said yesterday, he couldn't wait to regulate something. But when these people regulate, people lose jobs. That's just hand in hand. When you regulate, people lose jobs. I take it back. You get more government jobs. So if 1,000 people are laid off, you get 100 people that get government jobs, and 900 people get to go on the unemployment roll, or they get to go work at McDonald's or Walmart or whatever. I always like that one too, by the way. So, okay, anyway, I don't mean to keep going on here, but you have anything else you'd like to talk about or what?
No, I'm going to have to go here in just a minute. I guess there might be one more thing I'd like to say about Mitt Romney. One thing about him reminds me of Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton was always testing to see which way the wind blows, you know?
Absolutely.
On issues and stuff. He always played the middle of the road and went with the wind. And I think Romney is a lot that way. He'll say whatever people want to hear.
My favorite video with Romney was being in the football stadium with nobody in the seats, and they had like a couple hundred chairs out there in the field. It looked absolutely pathetic. And then you go to all the Ron Paul rallies, and they're absolutely packed. You know, they're packed. And every candidate said, "I wish we had the energetic supporters that you have." I don't get it. I mean, that's where I'm kind of lost right there. So, hey, I appreciate you calling, Kerry. When you get to Springfield, we'll talk before then. We'll do the bonfire. We'll do the party. I'm going to have a good time when
okay.
You guys are here.
You'll be at the convention,
okay.
Right?
What's that?
You'll be at the convention, right?
Absolutely. I'm a delegate. That is correct.
Okay. Well, I look forward to meeting you in person.
Okay. All righty. Okay, that's Kerry Noel. He's one of the delegates in St. Charles. Anybody else like to join in? Give us a call at 323-784-9620. John, I'd love to hear from you and see what you're thinking. It would be interesting to find out if you would like to see Romney or Dr. Paul. I mean, really, I'd like to know. Because remember, Romney had Romney Care, and my friend Dr. Lilly is a doctor. Just think, he can work under the new Romney Care. Yeah, he's gonna sign off Obamacare, and he's gonna have Romney Care. How well it works in Massachusetts. I always like that one. Yeah, we're gonna do this, and We're not going to do it. We did it in Massachusetts, which, you know, actually, if you get down to it, the only thing I will say for Romney, if the states want to do it, that's up to them. I still don't believe any of that should happen, but at least make it a state issue. It should never, ever be a federal issue, ever be a federal issue. That's ridiculous. And for anybody to think that health care is a federal issue, you must be a Democrat. Isn't that what they say? If you think, let me see, how do you do this? If you think health care should be a federal issue, you must be a Democrat or these days a Republican. There you go. Hey, I want to remind everybody about tomorrow. Our show is going to be from 8 to 10 o'clock. And I'm going to be co-hosting. Well, we're going to be co-hosting with a gentleman, T-Mott. And let me see. What was that? I can't remember what that was. T-Mott. I'm having a senior moment here. Yes, I'm not that young anymore. I'll figure it out. I don't know why I'm having a problem with that, but I'll get it in a second here. His T-Mott means, I'll get it here in a second once my computer comes up. Oh, I'm sorry, the Minister of Truth. There you go. Anyways, he's got a show. He's done a lot of YouTube stuff and all that, and it's going to be quite interesting. And I'm sure Dr. Lilly is going to be forwarding a lot of money there. The show's 8 to 10, and the donate will be on the website. And, in fact, let me go a step farther here. It's going to be – I'm actually going to have my pretty face on the website, Rise for Liberty. It's going to be done on a national bit. We're going to have lots of different guests on here. I'm hoping to get – if any of you are familiar with Major Christopher Miller, he was at one of – he was at the St. Charles Caucus, and he's a gentleman I can't wait forward. I'm looking so forward to talking to plus interviewing. I think that's going to be fabulous. I'm doing my office work from home, so I'm listening. Nice to hear you on the air. Well, thank you very much, John. You'll have to join me again sometime. But if one of you people out there are familiar with Mr. Miller, Christopher Miller, Marine, former Marine, you're always a Marine. I'll get that right. You know, where is he? Ronnie White, you're going to have to tell me exactly how to call a Marine because – they are never former Marines. You'll have to tell me exactly what I need to say because I certainly don't want to hurt anybody's feelings when it comes to that because they'll kick my butt, especially the Marines. There is a chance, a small chance, by the way, U.S. Army active duty. Ken, are you active duty, by the way? We have somebody on the board here. He's my snarly right now. You spent 27 months in Iraq. Love to hear from you if you can call in, by the way. 323-784-9620. This is a gentleman who's at Fort Hood, by the way, and that's where my friend Dave Sawyers is going there, by the way. He's going to Fort Hood. I think he's going to join you, but I'd like you to join me. I'd like to hear a bit what an active soldier is saying about Dr. Paul. Of course, you know, from what we understand, none of you guys like Dr. Paul, right? 323-784-9620. Love to hear from you. You know, that's just it. You know, I love it when the neocons, I'm calling them neocons now because that's really what they are, when the neocons say, yeah, we gotta go to another war. We got to do something in Iran. We already did it with Iraq. Well, we got to go to Iran, and we got to start beating them up now too, since that's a big deal right now. You know, we got to bomb all these people, and I'm sure Ken can't wait to go over. And you spent 27 months in Iraq, man. Ken, is it possible you can call in? I would love to hear you call in. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the on what's going on. All righty, I think we got Ken here. All right, is this Ken? We're on the Super Dave Show. Is this Ken?
Yes, it is.
All righty, Ken. Okay, you are serving. You served 27 months in Iraq.
Yes, I did.
Speak up. I can't hear you very well, buddy.
I said, yes, I did.
You did. Okay, let me ask you, when you were there, what were your thoughts? When did you go to Iraq? Let's start there. When did you go there in your first duty?
I was there from 2006 to 2008 with 30 of the 82nd Field Artillery, 2nd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division. I was in Baghdad. My second tour, I was there in 2009 with 2nd Brigade again, but a different battalion. And that was in northern Iraq in Kirkuk, up around the Kurdish region.
So do you think we need to go over to Iran and start messing with them even more?
No, no, I don't. I think that's stupid.
What? Okay, and I'm asking you. I'm asking the question because I'm with you all the way on this one. Believe me, why is it stupid to go to Iran? Aren't you afraid they're gonna make this super nuclear bomb and they're gonna kill us all?
Well, of course they are. Why do you got to step back though and think, why do they want a nuclear weapon? Look what we've done to all the countries in that part of the world that didn't have one.
What did we do? I want you to tell the listeners what we did. I don't want to say it again. I want you to tell them. Because you're there,
We went over there, we blew a bunch of stuff up, and then we occupied for a decade. And yeah, they were happy to get rid of Saddam. You know, hey, I understand that. They're happy to get rid of Saddam. But then we stayed there for however many years. And let me tell you, by the time I got there in 2006, those people did not like us. They wanted us to go home.
But we stayed.
From my point of view, we shouldn't have been in Iraq to begin with. It was an unconstitutional war. There was no declaration of war.
Bingo.
And it was a failed policy because now, in retrospect, look at Iraq. What's about to happen in Iraq? That government is failing.
Right.
Why is it failing? Because it relied on the U.S. to be built up, and then when we left, now all this sectarian violence is kicking up again.
I want you to tell the listeners, hold on, Ken. I want you to tell the listeners, is there American businesses now in Baghdad?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
There's a reason why I bring this up.
War is a racket. War is a racket. The only reason we were there is because a small group of people stood to make a whole lot of money by being there.
Bingo. Yeah, I want people to know there's a Bank of America there. There's all these American businesses. And what I ask people, step back and think about this. How would you like the Bank of Iran or Iraq to be down the street in Springfield or St. Louis or wherever you're from? How would you like that? I don't think we would like that. Do you?
No, not at all.
But for some reason, they're supposed to love us because we're Americans.
Let me start out. Okay, the way I look at it over there, it's like we're a 200 and some year old country. That part of the world has a culture that is, centuries. It's like a grandfather talking to a grandchild, you know, and the grandchild telling the grandfather how to live his life. That old man's going to look down at the kid and be like, well, what experience do you have? It's the same thing with us meddling over there. That's how they look at us. Like, your culture is an infant. How are you going to come over here and tell us how to live? That's how they look at it.
So you believe Dr. Paul is onto something, don't you?
Oh, well, no, I believe Dr. Paul is 100% right with his foreign policy. The reason that part of the world hates us is not because we are quote-unquote free. The reason they hate us, look at the translation of Osama bin Laden's video of why September 11th happened. And it'll lay it right out for you. He said, I want to attack America because of their bases in Saudi Arabia and their meddling over here in the Middle East. That was why he did it. And he also stated that the strategy that they wanted was to collapse the U.S. economy. It wasn't to beat the U.S. military, because that's a no-win fight. But if you look at it, what he wanted to happen has happened. Look at our economy. He said the U.S. economy is fragile, just like the Soviet Union's was. And we are heading in that same direction.
Absolutely correct. I want to remind everybody, we're talking to, let me see, what's your tell us who you are again. I mean, you're Ken McLeod from Ken McLeod. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Washington State.
Washington State. and you're serving now. You're in Fort Hood, but you spent 27 months in Iraq. So this, my friends, this man has a clue what's going on. So instead of listening to lying politicians who are in the pockets of the military-industrial complex, how about listening to the very people that you want to send over there to get blown up or come back either dead in a casket or with their arms and legs gone? Every time I see that, I don't know about you, Ken, it drives me up a wall. I think unnecessary wars are causing this, and the stupid Americans are going, yeah, let's go blow somebody up like it's a war game, like it's a video game. Am I on to something here?
Let me tell you something. I don't want to get religious, but I'm a Christian man, and I believe that Christianity teaches peace. All right? And if we're going to go tell somebody how to live, if we're going to go tell somebody how to live or want to change how someone lives, you don't do it with bombs. You don't teach people not to blow stuff up by blowing them up.
You know, I'm going to differ with you, though. There was a guy named Santorum and Michelle Bachmann. I don't know who was worse between both of them, because I used to kind of joke about them a little bit. And it's like, let's go kill some Muslims right after church. That's what I felt like they were saying. You know, I'm religious,
right.
I'm this, I'm that, but I'm going to go kill Muslims today. I mean, we got to go kill Muslims, and that's all there is to it. And that used to bug the heck out of me, because it's like, I'm sorry, why are these Christians running over there and they can't wait to blow people up?
That's not Christian. That's religion. There's a difference. There's a difference between organized religion and Christianity.
I agree with you. 100%. You're on target, 100%. I mean, when you were over there, were you a little bit concerned about the IEDs or something like that, and you're going home without a leg or an arm or even being there?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, I enlisted, and I was a young, dumb, 20-year-old kid, and I wanted to go be Rambo, you know, and I wanted to go fight for my country and see all this combat and all that and come back a war hero. Unfortunately, I got exactly what I was looking for, And let me tell you, it's not like the movies. It's not pretty. Young men and women die in that part of the world over transporting cheesecake or paper plates or oil from one base to the other for no reason. Just so some schmuck sitting back here in the States, some fat cat, can make a few bucks.
Wow. That just, I mean, I am so with you, you have no idea. This is, you know, I want these people who are not Ron Paul fans to listen to this gentleman, because this is what it's all about, guys. It's easier to sit here and tell somebody else what they need to do. Go over there and get your asses blown up. You know, go over there and fight for us. You know, at the caucuses, I saw some former military get up and say, we need to continue fighting those wars over there instead of here. And I'm thinking, are you people out of your mind?
That's the brainwashing.
Now, these are people who fought maybe 30 years or 40 years ago. You know, and frankly, when I look at those, I think twice about the Vietnam War. I'm old enough to – I was drafted. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I had no desire to go. I'm not going to lie to you. And I think people should serve their country when it's necessary, like you did. But at the same rate, I can't imagine you going over there. And I'll bet you thought a little bit about the Pat Tillman thing when you were over there too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was some shady business there. You know, I mean, when it gets that deep to where there's blue-on-blue violence based on how someone views the war or political ideologies, then we got a real problem.
Every person on the planet needs to see the story, the Pat Tillman story, because I've seen it 3 or 4 times, and it's difficult for me to watch. You know why? Because every time I see it, I get much more pissed. I mean, I get furious. And it makes me furious because of what our government did, and it makes me more furious because people make excuses for our government for what they're doing right now. And that's what bothers me the most. I have a lot of respect for Dr.
Them.
Well, yeah, it's to them, it's going over there. You go ahead and do this, and I'm out of here. I mean, that's what it amounts to. And I honestly, I mean, my son served in the military. He was in the Navy. And I just can't imagine him going over there right now and coming back, you know, half gone. And then, you know, it's only to serve the military industrial complex. And I know people that's don't want exactly to hear that, but that's what it is.
And now that I'm voicing my opinion, they're kicking me out for they're med boarding me out for PTSD.
Well, let me see. You're over there for 27 months, and now they're going to kick you out.
Yeah, they're sending me home, med boarding me out for PTSD. I mean, mind you, I don't really got a problem with that because I kind of want out by now anyway. But just the idea that you're not good enough anymore. We're just going to kind of, you know, shrug you off. It's, you know, it's a lot to swallow.
It's not going to be a dishonorable discharge, is it?
Oh no, no. I served my country honorably, and trust me, there ain't no way they're going to kick me out dishonorably.
But I can't imagine 27, you know, and people are going to say, oh, well, what did you do wrong or something like that? Well, if anything you did wrong is you served your country, but your country didn't serve you. By the way, when you're over there bombing people, do you guys wear white hats?
White hats?
Yeah, because according to the people I talk to, when we go over there, we're over there like the Lone Ranger, and we're saving people. So I figured you guys wore white hats instead of camouflage. I wasn't sure. I mean, maybe you could help me out with that one.
Well, the camouflage might as well be white hats because it doesn't camouflage shit.
You know, I remember seeing a video once that somebody took over was it Iraq? And it was basically asking people there. Most of them didn't even know who we were. They didn't know who the United States was, did they?
By the time I had gotten there in 2006, yes.
Because okay, by the time you got there. But when we first got there, a lot of people knew who we were.
No, God, no. I mean, Saddam tricked his army into fighting on the idea that we were going to come over there with wooden tanks.
You know what? That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? We got a bunch of candidates doing the same thing. Let's go ahead and tell them all this stuff, and we'll trick them into going over there and bombing Iraq. In fact, almost every time – hold on a second. Almost every time I saw Michelle Bachmann or one of these other people who supposedly are conservative in Tea Party, that they would say something. They would say something, and the press would fall for it and show how the wonderful United States saved a fishing boat of five people from Iran and how wonderful we were.
It's an act of war. Everybody's all concerned. Oh, well, Iran's going to close the Strait of Hormuz. That's an act of war. What they fail to realize is our Navy being in their territorial waters is an act of war to begin with. That is an act of war. Our Navy should not be there. That is their territory, and our Navy being there is a direct act of war. Under international law, I mean, for God's sake, if Iran had half the Navy we did and they had them in the Gulf of Mexico, it'd be on like Donkey Kong, let me tell you. The only reason it's not over there is because they don't have aircraft carriers. They don't have a capability to fight our Navy.
Wow. Oh, by the way, I was corrected, just so you know. I was corrected by my son who was in the Navy that only they wear white hats. I kind of stepped on that one, but, you know. But, I use that, you know, because, you know, people think that, you know, by the way, was every Muslim bad? Was every Muslim out to kill you, by the way? I want to make sure that maybe I didn't get something wrong, you know. I mean, because one understand from some people, especially the political people, if you're Muslim, you absolutely want to kill every American. Is that correct?
No. That is not how Islam works. That is a lie, and that is fear-mongering. That is propaganda coming from the right. If you look at the insurgency, in many ways it's very similar to how the U.S. fought the Revolutionary War. Because for a long time, we simply did not have the military fortitude to face the British head on, hence why France had to come in and save us in a few instances. If you look at history, strategic military tactics back then, it was line warfare, all right? The British would advance with line infantry regiments. And the United States, or the 13 colonies at the time, did not have the manpower to do that. So they adopted more guerrilla tactics, all right? What this is in Iraq and Afghanistan today, yes, I hate it because I was on the receiving end of it, is nothing more than present-day guerrilla tactics.
Wow. Wow. By the way, my friend Ronnie White, he's a ex-military, former military, I'll put it that way. Great Americans like Ken will suffer at the hands of politicians because they will not follow the Constitution. And he thanks you for his service, by the way. So it's one of your buds.
Thank him, but remind him that war has always been and always will be old men talking and young men dying.
Yep. Yep, and people who care more for their country, contrary to the ones that are making those decisions, because for many of them, and I keep telling people, it's about the donations. It's about the political donations. And tomorrow, I'm going to remind everybody, tomorrow we're going to do a national show, 8 to 10 o'clock, and it's the Ron Paul money bomb. Ron Paul is not out of this, everybody, and I think you probably know this too. He is
not
out of this.
I'm a delegate, and I would have found out a long time ago.
Yes, you're a delegate. Good for you. Well, okay, Ron Paul is not out of this compared to what, you know, and this is what irritates me about the party, and this irritates me about the press. And I don't understand that the same people who are mad at the party still believe the party, and the same people who think the press is full of crap still believe the press. Very intelligent people are doing this, by the way, and I'm scratching my head. I'm going, what is wrong with you people? You believe the very people who are lying to you.
The media,
you know, every day.
Agenda.
No, the campaign is not over. And I hope that everybody, I don't know if you heard what I said earlier, you know, if there's there's millions of Ron Paul fans, if people would listen to the show tomorrow and go on the website again is, let me tell you real quick here, the website is Rise for Liberty. I will be on video and on my show, and there'll be a donate button, and we're trying to raise as much money as we can. I would love to be a part of the fact of being the biggest raiser of money on the Ron Paul campaign. That would make my day, not for me, but by the fact that we can raise $several million. That would be absolutely awesome. And if 1 million people do it and give $10, that's 10 million people. That's $10 million. That's a lot of money.
Amen.
I mean, do you agree with me? I mean, come on. You know, look, Ken is out there fighting for our country. He spent 27 months in a war that he shouldn't have been fighting to begin with because of our politicians. It was an unconstitutional war. So if he can go ahead and give his time, the least you could do is stop smoking for a week or whatever you're doing. Don't take your wife out. Don't go out to dinner, whatever. Send $10, $20, $50, $100. Do something and show the Ron Paul campaign that you aren't giving up either. He's not giving up. Just the press has. So,
don't listen to CNN or Fox News. They have an agenda, and they are going to lie to accomplish that agenda. CNN is owned by Time Warner. All right? Fox News is owned is a child splinoff of News Corp International, who is owned by Rupert Murdoch. Look into this stuff before you go turning on CNN. Just turn off the TV and open up Google. That's what I want to tell all you listeners.
You're right. Fox News, by the way, started out as a good thing. I mean, I really believe they did. But they have just become the Republican Party mirror. That's what they've become. And even Cavuto, who I like a lot, by the way, I can tell he's cringing because he wants to say things and he can't. They took the judge off of Fox Business. And he had awesome ratings, and all of a sudden he's off Fox Business. Why would that be?
Look at Napolitano.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about, Napolitano. They took him off Fox Business Channel, and he had great ratings. Help me out. What am I missing? I'm not missing anything. It's what the GOP is doing, the same GOP that is screwing us over left and right. They have become, what I say about both parties, they're the same. They wear the same uniforms, just different hats.
Exactly. They still have the same agenda. They just go about it wearing a different color tie.
Yeah, if you notice, when Bush went to war, it was okay, even though, and we kind of let him get away with it. And then the Constitution. By the way, I got to ask you about one of your soldier friends. What do you think of Ellen West?
Of who?
West.
I don't recognize the name.
Okay, he's a congressman, former military, and he happens to think the Patriot Act was a good idea. He thinks NDAA was a good idea and CISPA.
Are you talking about? Is it a good idea?
Yeah. He gets out there and he talks really bad about Obama and the rest of them. He talks like you, but he votes differently. He votes for these things that tear the Constitution completely apart. I don't understand why people are in love with this guy, except for the fact he talks big, just like Michelle Bachmann and some of these other people who talk big but vote against the Constitution every time.
Let me tell you, they have an agenda. They have an agenda, and it's to serve their constituents. And the constituents are the same people who run the military-industrial complex, are the beneficiaries to the Fed and Goldman and Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Government Motors, as I like to call them. All the companies that you see Obama bailing out, that don't even really need bailing out. Why? What's the reason for that? Look at his top 10 campaign contributors of 2008, and look at Romney's top 10 contributors of this election. You'll
Correct.
See some striking similarities, and then sit back and ask yourself, why is that? Why is it that these multi-billion-dollar companies apparently don't care who gets in office between the two? They just want to ensure that it's one of those two.
Exactly right, because they're really the same thing. In my book, I mean, they're the exact same thing. And I don't know how anybody can look at these people and say, well, the only difference is one guy's a white guy and he's got an R next to his name. That's the only difference in these two. Because you're telling me Romney care and Obamacare isn't the same thing? Of course it is. But no, all of a sudden, because he's got an R next to his name, and he's, by the way, he's running for office. When people are running for office, God dang it, they're lying through their teeth but saying anything they can to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
Anything they can.
Exactly.
That's what politicians
exactly.
do. That's politics 101. Sorry, I get excited here.
It is. They're going to feed the public whatever it takes to get the nom. And, I mean, if you look at the big issues between Mr. Obama and Mr. Romney, here's where America's fooling itself. They're paying attention to the little issues that the mainstream media is feeding out. And I don't mean to offend any homosexuals out there. I'm just going to use this as an example. Whether they can get married or not is not going to crash the economy. It's
Bingo.
Not going to end the nation. What is going to end the nation is the collapse of the monetary system that supports it. And the reason it's going to crash is because we're nation building around the world, a.k.a. building an empire.
Well, smart people know up front, Ken, that the whole purpose of that discussion was a distraction. Anybody that paid one bit of sense to that, I don't really care. You know, you have to pay attention to what the most important problems are. You know, I think about it here. Here's what reminds me of. Your motor in your car is getting ready to die. You can tell it is, okay? But all of a sudden, you have a chip in the paint near your bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And you're more concerned about the damn chip and the pain in the bumper than you are about the motor that's going to die in your car. That's where we are. Wouldn't that sound right to you?
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Sorry. It really I can't believe we have that many stupid people out there who actually are so concerned about gay marriage and all the rest of it. That is only to play games with all this to begin with. And not only that, but why does that even mention Dr. Paul? I want to bring up something else here about Sharia law that I hear about all the time. If Sharia law is a big thing that you're concerned about, you've had these same politicians in office, I mean, for a long time, and Sharia law is starting to take effect in some areas. And they say, well, I'm concerned about Dr. Paul. I'm not concerned because if you go by the Constitution, Sharia law wouldn't even be a thought process, would it? Wouldn't even be there.
No, it wouldn't, because most of the things involved with Sharia law are directly against your first 10 amendments, which is the Bill of Rights. All right?
Exactly.
In your First Amendment, it pretty much outlines the separation of church and state that so many like to argue, where it says that Congress shall pass no law basically on the behalf of the establishment of a religion, nor prohibit the exercise thereof. People like to say, well, that just means that the church can't own the government. Well, look at guys like Santorum or Bachman who use that excuse and then try to pass these laws and use that as a way to further their agenda. That's what that's trying to stop.
Tell you what, it's just it's amazing. Well, I hope you listen tomorrow night. I'm going to have to close it up here. I'm so glad you called. Tomorrow night we're going to be doing a show from 8 to 10 o'clock, and I hope you listen to it and encourage all your friends to listen to it, because we're gonna bring Dr. Paul the most amount of money that we can even imagine. Everybody on here is going to donate a lot of money. I can see him right now. So, and you can tell them Super Dave sent you. I don't get half either. Hey, Ken.
You know, I've already.
Kudos to you for serving your country, by the way.
That's why I called in. Yeah, I saw the an ad on Facebook with your picture on it right as I was looking through Blog Talk Radio, and that's why I went to your show, based on an advertisement of just what you're talking about. So word's getting around.
Well, good. Hey, thanks for coming on, buddy. We got about 4 minutes left, and I gotta do some stuff before I get off the air. But really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot for serving your country. You're a hero in my book. I mean, you know, Ronnie White. You know, he's former military. Such respect. I want to give a special. By the way, how long are you gonna be? How long before you leave Fort Hood?
I'm not sure. I'm in the med board process right now. It could be anywhere between 3 and 6 months before it's all said and done.
One of my friends, his name is Dave Sawyer. He's going to be there. So if you hear it, ask him if he knows who Super Dave is. He's also a friend of Ronnie White's, by the way.
But okay, I'm going to shoot you a private message with my link on Facebook. Add me to Facebook, and then we can communicate. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay,
right.
That was Ken McLeod. He's still military, and I give him a lot of credit. He lets you know what it's really all about over there. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep. Thanks for having me on. God bless.
All righty. Hopefully again someday.
Yep.
Okay, everybody. We're going to do some final work here on what's going to happen tomorrow. All right. Show will be from 8 to 10 tomorrow instead of 7 to 9. I'm going to be working with some other people. It's going to be the national show, and I think it'll be absolutely awesome. Everyone tell your friends to listen to it. I'm going to have another gentleman on, T-Mott. The minister of God, this is old. Minister of Truth. I'm sorry, I should know that. But he's going to be on, and he and I are both going to do the show. But we're going to raise the most money ever in the Ron Paul campaign. The Ron Paul campaign is not over, contrary to what you've heard. And thank you very much. I appreciate it. Great show. I love it when people are smart enough to tell me what I think, what I want to hear. Anyway, I hope that you guys listen to it. If I'm trying to get this Christopher Miller, he's a Marine who is a delegate in the state of Missouri. I want to hopefully have him on, and hopefully my friend Paul Kirtman will be on too. He's a state representative now in the St. Louis area, and he is actually in session right now. So that's why he couldn't come on tonight, but that's okay. We had another military guy, and I hope every military person out there, and I'll get you, Ken, will pay attention and be a part of the solution instead of sitting back and wait for somebody else to do it. We cannot sit back and wait for other people to do what we need to do. We can't do it. Because when we do, everybody loses. All right, thanks everybody for listening. See you tomorrow. It'll be 8 to 10 o'clock. Don't forget. See you later.
You can't quit.
And why not? Because you're fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't. over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
Thanks. I needed that.